6 of the Curriculum 2020 podcast for Cultivate. We are in our third week now of the prayer section of the Cultivate curriculum. And we have Landon here again with us.
We back.
To talk about this next portion of the Lord's Prayer. I am so rude. I also forgot to introduce who I was. I am Rachel.
You are Rachel.
You keep hearing my voice every week, so you know who I am. But I do feel like it would be polite for me to introduce myself. So, Landon, what part of the Lord's Prayer are we going to focus on this week?
Yeah, so we're kind of getting into the weeds here a little bit. I'm getting into a little bit of the tough stuff, but the good stuff, the hard work, you know?
That's some good Cultivate imagery right there.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really, digging some deep roots here. But it's forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I'm kind of talking about the idea of confession.
Whoa. So last week we were talking about supplication prayer, and that means to pray for to pray on behalf on ourselves or others. And this week we are moving into confession. So we are going to look at 1 John 1, 5 through 10. Last week we were in just John. Now we're in 1 John, one of his letters. So if you haven't read these 6 verses, please just hit pause, read it real quick. Like I say, it's just so much better whenever you know the scripture before you listen to these, because I think it just allows that, you know, rooting, like Landon's talking about, to go a little bit better. So you've listened and you're back with us. Landon, can you give us some background on this letter?
Yeah, for sure. So hopefully that didn't take you very long. Might have taken 2 minutes. It also might have taken like an hour, because I feel like this is just a really... 1 John really is a book entirely, is really short, but boy, does it pack a punch.
It hits you.
Yeah, a lot of just solid truths in here. So I don't know. Maybe it took you 2 seconds, but also maybe God did some work in just a little bit of time.
Some cultivating, John, might we say.
Absolutely. But John does not waste any time getting to the point. 1 John, I don't know, it gives me a little bit of like grandpa at the Thanksgiving dinner table vibes, but like in a really good way.
Oh, please tell us why.
So,
I love that.
At this point when he's writing this, John's one of the last like living witnesses to Christ that's still hanging around. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, everyone else has kind of like forgotten about Jesus. Not completely forgotten, but like there's just a lot of conflict going on in the mm-hmm. early church, a lot of division. Maybe not that different from like what we're seeing now in 2020.
Maybe.
So maybe this is like super relevant for us. We'll see. Anyways, though, John's kind of just that guy. It's like back in my day, you know, we had it good. You know, we walked uphill both ways, you know, to and from wherever. I don't know. Just things that older people say. But anyways, he's just really trying to, you know, call the church back to who they were meant to be originally. He feels like they've kind of fallen away. And so this is kind of just his opening, you know, address to the Church of Asia Minor, and just trying to tell them, you know, hey, here's the truth. You know, here's what you need to know about God. And here's what that calls us to do. And so... verses 5 through 10, he goes to one of his favorite images, which is just that God is light and we are dark, and we are live in darkness, and talks about how we need Jesus to purify us from sin, and just highlights the importance of this practice of confession.
If you guys know anything about John, whether it be the Gospel of John or 1 John, 2 John, whatever, he really likes this contrasting metaphor between light and darkness. You see it over and over again. So, Landon, can you help us understand what lightness and darkness is?
Yeah, for sure. So the first thing to know about light and darkness is that they're just like, you know, directly opposite of each other. And there's not a whole lot of like coexisting that's going on there between light and dark. And we see this, right? I mean, the sun rises and, you know, all the darkness just goes away. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in a dark room and, you know, it's morning time and someone, you know, cracks open the light or the light comes in through the window, you know, you notice, right? And suddenly a, you know, pitch black room, you light just a tiny little candle and suddenly the entire room's illuminated. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what I think it's important to understand about God's light. It's just that it's perfect. It has, there's no darkness in it. But also it doesn't like, I don't know. It doesn't just like sit over to the side, you know, while darkness does its thing. Light actively penetrates darkness. Mm-hmm. And so defining God as light not only says that he's holy, that he's perfect, but that he, by his very nature is doing the work of, you know, just ridding the world of darkness. Mm-hmm. And we see that in Christ, but we also see him doing that work, individually in our hearts. you know, working our own darkness out and hopefully leading us towards confession.
Yeah. I love that you're using this word penetrate, because it almost, it can be offensive. Like, if we are living in darkness, light is penetrating to us. God's light is. And, it can just be like hard to swallow.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And I think that we, you know, get like a big dose of this, like originally, like, you know, in a lot of our come to Jesus moments, there's like this huge moment of like, oh my gosh, like I need Jesus. Right. Mm-hmm. But then after that, you know, kind of after this fire is faded and really kind of where, you know, a lot of the early churches that John's writing to here. But then also I think in a lot of, you know, our students' lives that are in groups, you know, and really in all of our lives, God's still doing that sanctifying work, you know? And I think that we realize that as we, you know, try to walk with God, after accepting Christ, that, his light, it just continues to, you know, penetrate our darkness and just convict us in little small ways and keeps trying to move us on that path towards light and continue to run with him.
Yeah. So we'll get a little bit more into how this light penetrates the darkness of our life in a little bit. But first, I think it would be helpful if we even understood what this word sin even means. We hear it all the time, especially if you go to church and are in a bunch of Bible studies. If you read scripture, sin is mentioned everywhere. So like, what does that actually even mean?
Yeah. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and do the whole Greek Hebrew thing that, you know, people who go to seminary do. I haven't been to seminary, but you know, I'm just going to try to dip my toe in the water, see how we do here.
You've got it.
The Greek word for sin, is hamartia, which means to miss the mark.
Okay.
Which I think can be kind of helpful imagery. There's a really good Bible Project video on sin.
Oh, it's so good. I know exactly what you're talking about.
So maybe press pause again.
Yeah, go watch it.
Go give that a watch. maybe just stick on the Bible Project channel for a while. A lot of good stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think even as we talked about, you know, the ultimate goal of the Christian life and really our overarching theme for this prayer book, is, you know, and really how we're taught to pray is to love God, but also to love others. And so hamartia, missing the mark, can just look like not meeting that mark that we're supposed to have, loving God and loving others. And that's natural, right? Because we're sinful. We're bound to fall short of the glory of God. But luckily, you know, there's the grace of Jesus. But that's kind of what we're looking at, what we're talking about when we talk about sin.
Okay, so we know what sin means. And so now I think we can now move into understanding like how we respond to this penetrating light into the darkness or our sinful life. And so we see this word confession all throughout scripture. We see it in the story of David when he commits his pretty big deal sins there. But why is confession even just like important to our relationship with God?
Sure. Yeah. So I think it's just even, you know, confession in itself is just acknowledging, you know, who God is and who we are. And it's saying, you know, listen, God, you're perfect. You're holy. And I need you because I'm not. And so it's just coming to God and saying, hey, here's where I'm at. Here's what I've done. Here's how I've fallen short. And like trusting that God is good and gracious to forgive that. You know, I really think it's how, like I said, you know, that process of sanctification happens and God kind of just pulls us more into who he is and continues to purify us and just shape us into his image.
Yeah. And even when you're talking about like sin, it's like missing the mark. That creates a separation between us and God.
Yeah.
And so confession is a way that we can like reflectively admit to God, like I have caused this separation with you and I'm seeking you to restore relationship with you.
Absolutely. And like, we do this with like our friendships, right? If we realize that there's something we've done that has, you know, created a separation between us and one of our best friends or a roommate, you know, I'm sure that's probably happens for a lot of you all, but, you know, we kind of naturally do this, but I think that there's a lot of, we talk about it in like a spiritual sense and with our relationship with God, there can be just a lot of shame that surrounds it.
Yeah.
And really it's just kind of, you know, man, like, you know, I realize that something has happened here, you know, that's created a divide. And I want to do something to, you know, fix that. Mm-hmm. And we can do that on our own. You know, we need Jesus and we need his grace and his forgiveness. But also we need to take that step into accepting it through confession.
So good. So that's answering like, why it's important for our individual relationship with God. But this also can affect the community of believers. Like you were even talking about in the intro of like First John as a letter, like what was going on in the church then. And it was a lot of division and disunity. And so like, why is confession an important part of unifying us as a community?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think if we, you know, individually or even corporately are not, you know, in a healthy place with our, you know, personal relationships with God, with our communal relationships to God, we're going to see that start to take a toll on our relationships and the other places in our lives. And I'm sure a lot of you, you know, and a lot of our students have probably experienced this, just where, you know, if you know you're not in the right place with God, suddenly, you know, your friendships start getting a little more strained. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's relationships with the parents, that type of thing. But yeah, we really have to, you know, adopt this practice of confession into our lives, because it's going to teach us to, you know, give ourselves grace. It's going to teach us to, you know, extend grace to others. Mm-hmm. If we're not receiving forgiveness ourselves, we're probably going to be harboring a lot of anger mm-hmm. and resentment in our hearts towards others. So yeah, accepting this idea of confession can just do a lot of healing, for us communally in our relationships with one another. And I also think it's really important for us to practice this, together, you know, when we gather together in worship spaces, to just lift up prayers of confession, of corporate confession. I think that can really help to heal a lot of those divides that we're seeing in our world right now.
Yes, that is so good. So just to like jump on to another topic that we really want to hit, in the passage, John mentions these three different claims about sin. So can you just like unpack those for us a little bit so that we can better understand what he's talking about?
Sure. So light and dark, right? They're separate. We mm-hmm. talked about that. We talked about how light is going to penetrate darkness. And then darkness sometimes is going to push back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we see in kind of this reluctance that we have to confession. And, you know, that's just, you know, a part of our sinful nature is just not wanting to let, you know, God's light do his work in us. And so really, John kind of lays out three claims here. We see him in verse 6, 8, and 10. If you kind of look and see, you can even highlight where it says, if we claim. Those are where those you know, those three kind of claims of denial of sin are going to come. So the first one in verse 6 says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. And that's basically just saying that sin doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of problematic, because if sin doesn't matter, then why did Jesus have to die on the cross?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, sin definitely matters. It mattered to God enough to send his only son to die, to be the atonement for those sins. Mm-hmm. So sin matters. Sin creates a divide between us and God. But Jesus is that bridge. And so the first step is really acknowledging that sin matters. That second claim in verse 8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So this is saying like, yeah, sin is important. I know that sin had to, you know, mm-hmm. Jesus had to come to deal with sin. But me, I am personally not a sinner by nature. Mm-hmm.
So that's sure.
Right. Like, we know that's not true, but like, we do this, right? Like, we think that, like, you know, we get into this, you know, warped mental space where like everyone else is a sinner and we're not, whatever. But yeah, this, we're denying like who we are. We're lying to ourselves, you know, we're lying to others. We're just kind of continuing to run from the truth and not, mm-hmm. you know, let God do that work that he's really trying to do in our hearts. And just kind of accepting that, like, yeah, we need him, you know? Mm-hmm. And then moving into verse 10, he says, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. And John, you know, he wants to catch our attention there of saying, what, I'm calling God a liar? How am I doing that? And that's just by saying I haven't sinned, which may seem kind of similar to the other two, but I think this one might be the worst of the three, mm-hmm. Because we're really, you know, not denying that we've done things. Basically, the things that we do, we all do, you know, lie, cheat, envy, whatever it is, that those things aren't sinful. Hmm. And we're saying that what God views as good and evil, the things that he has viewed and labeled as sin, are not actually sin. Hmm. And so in that way, we make God out to be a liar. So none of these claims are good, but these are just kind of, you know, and maybe there's, and as we work through conversations with our group this week, just maybe even kind of laying those out and asking the question, like, which one of these three claims resonates with you the most? Mm-hmm. You know, which way are you not allowing the light to penetrate the darkness in your own life? I think that could be a good starting point for our conversations.
Wow, that is really good. I hope you guys wrote all that down, because I think that'll be like a really good launching point for some really good conversation in our groups this week. And even just like reflecting on like how we see those three claims in our culture surrounding us and how we as Christians respond to that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that like we, yeah, like blurring those lines of like good and evil and what's good and what's not. And I think we see a lot of that in our culture too. So yeah, I think you're definitely hitting on something important there. And even kind of seeing, yeah, maybe how do we see these things personally, but also how do we see these claims in our culture?
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Okay, so I want to focus in on verse 9 really quick. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And I just want to point that out because I think sometimes we talk about confession and so we're like, okay, I will confess. And then we just leave it there. And there's this really important follow-up aspect to confession of receiving God's forgiveness. And so I have a couple questions for you, Landon, mm-hmm. about what this even looks like in our lives. So first, like, what does it look like to practically receive forgiveness?
Yeah. I think, first of all, it takes just, I don't know, it takes that, like, depth of relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. We need to know him as Savior, know just the gospel truth of his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection, knowing that he has paid the price for our sins and knowing that he has the power over our sins. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't understand that, I don't think we're going to be very eager to come to confession, mm-hmm. right? So I think a really important thing is just understanding who Jesus is and that he is capable. Not only does he want to forgive our sins, you know, I mean, it's only one thing if Jesus wants to forgive our sins, but doesn't actually have the ability to do it. No, he wants to and has the ability to do it. He's already done it. Mm-hmm. So I think having that understanding of what it took for forgiveness to happen will lead us into confession more often than if we, you know, either don't know that truth or don't, you know, have kind of forgotten that truth. I think we have to keep that truth central of just God's goodness and graciousness and ability to atone for our sins that'll keep us coming back to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that just like sounds so attractive. Like, of course I want deeper relationship with the Lord of course I want to be relieved of the weight of my sin, but like for some reason, it's just still so hard for us to do that.
Yeah.
Like, do you have any insight of like, why is that so hard?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just kind of part of, you know, living in this already, but not yet.
Yeah.
That's part of, you know, I think sometimes, you know, talking about even like spiritual warfare of just like, you know, the enemy like is working towards a purpose too, right? Of keeping us in darkness. And so I think that we have to like acknowledge that. And just even as, you know, human beings, we just need this gospel truth spoken over us again and again and again. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why we gather together, you know, as believers every single week. It's why we do things like Synergy. It's why we do groups. It's because we need this truth spoken over our lives again and again and again, because we're just conditioned to forget it and to believe that we don't need it, or you know, that's where we get into, you know, some of the denial of sin and just avoiding confession.
Yeah, and I think that even answers my question of like why it's important to recognize our forgiveness. Like, I think you said earlier when we were talking about community and how lack of confession causes disunity within community. Like, if we can't recognize our own forgiveness, then how are we going to forgive others? And like, if we don't recognize our forgiveness, like, how are we supposed to live into this walk with Christ that is completely free of the bondage to sin, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I also want to say too that, like, you know, I think it can be really challenging for us sometimes to, I don't know, just remember like how good God is and that he's a God who wants to forgive. I think we can often get this picture of him just in the sky, you know, pointing down and saying, you did this wrong and you did that wrong. And I think that kind of comes from, again, just that flawed, just worldview that kind of comes from, you know, relationships. That can be from a church pastor, a parent, a friend, even just voices in our own head mm-hmm. that tell us we're not good enough. So I think we, from our culture and just from the relationships we have around us, where we haven't experienced forgiveness or haven't experienced the ability to just come and trust and, you know, confess, that can, you know, we kind of project that onto God a little bit. We talked about that all the way back in week one, right? About how, you know, our images or, you know, our earthly father can impact, you know, how we view God. And so I think our earthly experience with like confession, and forgiveness in our human relationships can affect, just our trust for God. Mm-hmm. To be forgiving when we come to him in confession.
Yeah. And I think that we hit a lot of that, especially in the first week of the curriculum when we talked about God, our Father, and like what it even means to look at him as a father and how to reconcile maybe even our own relationships with the Father when trying to understand who he is. So we talked a lot about confession. We talked a lot about forgiveness. What does a life of confession practically look like in our lives? Like, what do we, like, what can we start doing to, like, let this be a, even like a rhythm in our lives?
Sure. Yeah. So I think that something that's been helpful for me, is I think like we can kind of have struggles with like just even the words of confession. Right. And even identifying, you know, what are the things that I need to confess? Mm-hmm. And so I think that some things that have been helpful, is praying the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of great Psalms of confession. A couple to, you know, get you started. Psalm 32, which is a Psalm of confession from David. You know, you mentioned David earlier, or, Psalm 51, you're just talking about like a broken and contrite heart that God won't despise. Those are a couple of good ones. And then even there's just a lot of good, just like communal church prayers of confession that can kind of help us give just the language around things. But yeah, I think even practicing something like, you know, the examine of just taking time, you know, daily to reflect and say, you know, where has God worked? What are the good things that have happened today? You know, what am I grateful for? But also taking some time to wrestle with some of the harder things, you know, in what ways have I fallen short? What are the things that are burdening me? What are the things that I need to confess to God and let him, you know, forgive me for? Mm-hmm. And just not carrying that weight on our own.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, like I said, we can't do it alone.
Yeah.
So we need to be practicing confession in community as well, you know, practicing communal confession, but also, you know, guys, just like being in groups is super awesome. Having those relationships with people where we can be honest and be accountable to one another and confess to one another and confess before God with one another is just super, super important. We're not meant to walk this life alone, and we're not supposed to walk through this very difficult practice of confession on our own either. So I think that, you know, if you're struggling to find the words, maybe getting into the Psalms and just some just, you know, prayers that the church has used for years now might be a good call. But also making sure that you're doing it with other people and taking time in our groups. You know, that's why we take time to do accountability. So it's just so, so important for us to be practicing confession and just giving these things to God and trusting in his forgiveness. And really, you know, in this practice, we're just, again, reminded over and over and over again of just who God is and his goodness.
Yeah, I think it's funny because we have those weekly reflection questions before every group that you're supposed to fill out before you come. And number six asks, is there anything I need to confess? Is there anything I'm tempted to keep secret? And I think oftentimes we'll read a question like that and we think, oh, I have to share with other people. I'm definitely not answering that one, you know?
Right.
And this could be a good challenge to like, let that be the question that you answer and just be fully honest and vulnerable with the community that you are blessed with.
Yeah. 100%. And so leaders, there's actually a little part in that below where it says, you know, this week, our discussion will center on confession. Like this is a great week to pick this one. And so first of all, I would say, you know, maybe lead by example, take the time to do it. You know, I think that there is definitely, you know, even in leadership, some ability for some healthy, you know, confession. Definitely want to have some good boundaries a lot around that, but also just, you know, I think that's important to lead by example. Maybe, you know, if you're listening to this, it's the day before, it's the day of your group. Go ahead and just send them a little group.
Procrastinators out there.
For sure. But just like give them a little reminder and say, hey, like if we, you know, take this time to, you know, come to this discussion and study around confession, you know, while actually practicing it in accountability time, this could be like a really big, just kind of breakthrough week, you know, where we have those moments where, you know, we allow the light, you know, God, who is the light, to really penetrate into the darkness and just really form our hearts and bring us back to him in new ways.
And I like what you're saying about community, like confessing in community, because we keep bringing it up. Like a lot of disunity has been caused in the church and amongst believers because of a lack of confession in our lives. So how best to combat that than to confess to our fellow believers in the church, you know, and to allow confession to be a part of our community of faith.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even, you know, how we think about something like just what we experienced this summer, you know, with just calls for racial justice and what role the church has to play in that. And I think confession, you know, even kind of pairs with the idea of lament, of just, you know, just confessing, you know, just the brokenness of our world and understanding that there are just some things that like, you know, we can identify as, okay, this is like, you know, an individual sin that I have committed, you know, that I need to confess. But there are just, you know, things, you know, just in the church or just, you know, the community of believers over the years that we need to be lifting up as a community. So that's kind of maybe, you know, a tangible example mm-hmm. of kind of what I mean yeah. by like communal confession. But also, you know, that idea of personal confession is also going to lead us into, you know, being more forgiving towards others. When we receive that forgiveness of Christ, we're able to be in relationship with others better. And so that's kind of the invitation in our application and practice section, mm-hmm. Getting into one of Jesus's parables that kind of gets at that very thing. So I really think that this can be, just a really formational week for us and just something to, you know, sprinkle into our prayer lives for sure.
That is amazing. So I would love to hear if you have like a final point or if there's something you already talked about that you just like want to emphasize as the main point for this week.
Yeah. I would say the big thing is just that God is light, and we live in the darkness, mm-hmm. But that we aren't stuck there. And then we have the ability because of the work of Christ, to just, all we have to do is just acknowledge it mm-hmm. and say, hey, this is the deal. This is what's happened. And that just God is so good and so gracious and has done the work already, to bring us into the light. And even that God wants us. To be in the light with us, to, you know, to form us, to make us more like him. So don't view, you know, I don't want anyone listening to this to view, or any of our students to view confession as something that's shameful or meant to bring them down. And there really is just so much hope in it, that, you know, God just desires so much depth in us and is just calling us to a higher and better way. And so the invitation for this week is just to get excited about that, to accept that, to be willing to do the hard work that it takes to get there, to run that race, but that it's worth it. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, a life with God that, you know, where we're practicing confession, just bringing things before him, is really going to be fruitful and is definitely going to be better than, you know, some of these denials and just running from it. So yeah, Jesus is, you know, Lord, God is the good father that just wants us to run to him and, you know, just bring anything that's burdening us to him and just wants to, reconcile us to him. Mm-hmm. And that's the good news.
Bridge that divide.
Absolutely.
For the great work, Jesus. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Landon. This was week 6, and next week we will finish off the curriculum for this semester with week 7 with CJ. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.